Morning, carrying on. Chafetz Chaim, Hilchos Lashon Hara. Chos Pushlema of Yosef Ben Chayla, Besorg Shor Chole Yisroel. So in the previous year, the Chafetz Chaim introduced us to the concept of Devarim HaNikorim, recognizable signs, namely circumstantial proof, as a basis for believing certain forms of Lashon Hara. There are two major conditions which must be fulfilled before we can apply this principle. Firstly, the evidence must be directly related to the Lashon Hara and must be strong, not superficial. And secondly, the listener must recognize firsthand the validity of the evidence. The Chofetz Chaim cautions that even if we have powerful firsthand evidence, which permits us to believe the Lashon Hara, we are prohibited from sharing this information with others without a constructive reason. The Makor is based on a story in Nach, which Yanki will do with next week in Mitzvah Hashem. There's another story in Nach, which I just want to mention, which is also connected. The story of the Torah we do for Machon Chodesh comes from Shmuel Aleph, Perek Kaf, Posuk Yud Zayin, starts with Vayomer lo Yonasan Machon Chodesh. Not sure everybody knows the story, so briefly, David and Yonasan are having a conversation. David is worried about his life, that Shaul is not happy with him. So Yonasan says, we'll do a little something. So we'll meet in a few days' time. You hide here. I'll come with somebody. We'll shoot some arrows. Where the arrows land, if I say to the boy that arrows are just past you, that means everything's okay. But if I say the arrows are far past you, there's a problem. Okay, so did that. So he came with the boy, he shot the arrows. Said the boy, so he went to fetch them. He said, it's way past you. So David understood from that his life's in danger. So after that, Yonasan sent the boy back to the town, back to Yerushalayim. And then they had a conversation, Yonasan and David. So what was the need for all of that? Just have the conversation. Yonasan goes to meet David and just say, your life's in danger. My father wants to kill you. Why didn't he do that? Why the whole thing with the arrows? Why is it necessary? So I heard from a Socha friend, it's just to avoid Lashon Hara. The whole thing was just to avoid Lashon Hara, this whole thing. He could have had a conversation. But to make sure there was no Lashon Hara, he did this whole thing. So without saying anything, my father wants to kill you. Didn't want to say that. So the whole thing was done along those lines. So, So the other story from Nach, which to do with Sivo, will be mentioned by Yanki next week when he's speaking with Shem. Carries on the Chofetz Chaim. Have you ever been approached by a person involved in a monetary dispute? You've probably found that, in his opinion, his opponent is completely in the wrong, with no justification at all for his position. Quite possibly, if you spoke to the other party, you would encounter a reasonable person whose claims against the first party are equally valid. The fact is that in financial disputes, there are often no villains. Rather, there are misunderstandings and conditions that were never properly clarified from the start. Mr. Shem will carry on Sunday. Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Friday, Tes Zayin Iyar, 31st day of the Omer, 24th of May, Rabbi Rafael Evers Shlita, Gerushin and rights over the family home. This week's Torah was sponsored by Family Hoffman, the Chved Simchus HaMavitzvah of Yitzi Hoffman, last Shabbos, Yit Rotzen Shitzvah, Herob Uskeinov, Rav Nach, Zonu Kol Yitzvah, Cholatzehem, Bezchus HaShavuim VaChayolim, BaMilchamor Shachzul Avotahem, L'Shalom V'Meirov.
Amen. My dear friends, an honor and a pleasure to be here. I was asked to speak about a Chosh Mishpat subject, something which happens quite a lot. The two people are married, they have the shared apartment. They decide to divorce. In this case, there were no children. And in the Heskem Gerushin, in the settlement of the get, it was written that the Diras HaTzudodim his shared apartment will be sold for the highest bidder within 3 months. And if not, if they will not be able to sell it, they will not succeed, they will go to Beis Din and ask it to be koines nechosim, it's called. It is an auction. It will be auctioned for the highest bidder.
Pardon? If not sold.
It will be sold after... If there's no real reasonable price, they will go and ask the Beis Din to appoint an auctioneer who will auction this house, and then they will either get half of it, half of this building.
What value?
The value, what do you mean?
Who values the house?
$3 million, okay? That occur with you? Okay.
Who values, I think you said.
What did he say?
Who values it?
The auctioneer.
The auctioneer, no. All right. So I got the letter of the lady. She came with all the claims, and she said, my husband wants me to pay the Dime Shimush, the Stamshus. I used part of his house, half of his house, and I used half of his furniture. And I want the money for that for 12 months, because she was actually using the shared property for 12 months. But they made a scheme for the three first months where this was not shared. He allowed her to live there, so he didn't ask any money. And if he didn't ask any money, we understand it will be for free. But the last months, 9 months, it was not reasonable anymore. He wanted to sell. He was not able to sell. And he says, my wife has to pay at least 9 months for this furniture, which is movables, and for the Meshimusha Diro, which is Natlan or real estate. So very, very important in this whole story is the fact that if a house stands Limechir to be sold, then Bederch Klal, we ask Zeminut Pinui. I tell you the truth, this is my big chiddush actually here, that nowadays I find, especially when you look for a living house in Israel, that everybody or rented it out or still lives there. It's never Zeminut Pinui, it's never there vacant for empty to be delivered. No, that's not the case. People use every minute to rent out their livings, which is called nowadays Airbnb. It's very common. I've seen it in Israel, I've seen it in Holland, I've seen it in Germany, I've seen it here in England also. The husband also claims that his wife, mitarpedes, she frustrates the sale because she always comes with all kinds of nezokim. The house is not okay, it's leaking there, the door doesn't fit there, there's noise from the neighbors, the kelef is noveach, the dog is barking from the neighbors, you have never a second of rest, there's a bunch of light, or there's no light, chule bechule. She always told the truth about all the makkas of the dira hamashutefes, so her husband says she is guilty for not selling it. She claims the other side. She claims he is guilty because who will sell a maxim? He wants the maximum price. He wants more than is reasonable, and that's really what is impeding and keeping up the sale of the house and the sale of the furniture also. So I just want to make a little hakdoma about the differences between real estate and metaltelim. Natlan, as you call it, nichse de lo neide. And metaltelin, which is the furniture, and also between possession and ownership. Let's start with the first thing, because this is really fundamental principle in Choshe Mishpat, a very big difference between possession and ownership. I can own a bike, but if you sit on my bike and I gave it to you, or you just took it as a gun, if even you have possession. Possession is bederach klal, has not very many rights, but in the case of gezeila, I'll show you that you have a lot of rights. So possession is not really legal, it's just factual. It's a fact, I'm sitting on your bike, Legal is more the fact that you are the owner, but there's a big difference. Ownership is always risk, which means if it is destroyed, you lost your whole fortune. Possession is never a risk because it's not your fortune, but okay, maybe he gave it you to use it for a month, so you lose a month of using, but not more. It's very interesting, legabe the furniture, the claim of dmei shimush, hishtamshus in the furniture, is very interesting that we have by metaltelin the aloha and the din of the heishiv es hagzeile, kishas hagzeile, you have to pay it back, how much it was worth at the time of the gzeile. What happened after that is actually the the rebach of the ganav. It's very interesting in Yiddishkeit, in the Alochas, in Chush Mishpat, in the Gemara, we have a quite eroded idea of property. You know, you see it already by Veheshus HaGzele, the only punishment is you got to give it back. Here in England, you end up in prison if you steal, yeah? In the Torah, you just have to give it back. So it's a little bit eroded. You see it also, you have to give tzedakah. I mean, what you have is not really yours. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to you, and it is a bit eroded, I would say, ownership. And kacha ze haloche, there are two little exceptions, but the haloche is that if I steal your car, and I make a pizza delivery 6 years with your car, you only discover it after 6 years, I used it for 6 years, I have to pay you back the car, or the worth of the car, which when it was 6 years ago, what it was worth 6 years ago. But this ishtamshus, this using your car for 6 years, is my benefit, is my profit, it's mine. Yeah? The Gemara says that, and there the difference between possession and ownership starts. I'm the owner of the car, he had it in possession, and benafshe, as the poskim bring it, who worked, the benafshe osa malocha, he worked on his, let's say, possession, which he got by taking this factually. It was, of course, it was oyvaloi sigzo. That's very clear that it was oyvaloi sigzo. But there is no consequence. There is no punishment. There is no pay it back. You only pay back the original worth. So this is the first. It is a bit confined because there are two exceptions. First of all, for example, the Gemara brings the example of talk of sfinoso shachaveroi. I take the svina of my chaver and I use it if it's oymet lahaskir. And also, and it has an aspect of intent, you have kavon liskor. Yeah, it was oymet lahaskor means this boat was for rent, was you can pay and take it. And if you just took it as a ganav, maybe you still had the idea. Shoyel shaloy midas is also a gazanon. You have to. Idea to pay it, then you have to pay it because still it is their ownership and you have to pay it. This is the very clear halach in Shulchan Aruch, and because it is borrowed, I take this ship of somebody else, but with the kavona to pay the rent, I have to pay the rent. So is the halach, and this is the first exception. The second exception is if the tour brings in B'Shem HaRama, which is Meir Halevi Abu Lavia, that sometimes you have to pay things which are Oymet Lahaskir. It's a big machloikas actually, because the Beis Yosef is Doiche Legamre. The Beis Yosef says, we pay Kol HaGazlon Mishalmin Keshas HaGazele, and there's no such difference between Meloche and Haskore. If I personally do Meloche with your car, or ani maskir, I rented out your car, and then the rental goes to the original ownership. Beis Yosef does not accept this. The tour brings it, B'Shem HaRamo, but Beis Yosef does not accept it and says there's no difference. The Ramo Yisrael is not Ramo Levi Ablavia, the Ramo Yisrael, the Prosik of the Ashkenazim, he says no, klal, eich yase. Mischar beparoso shachovira. How can it be? This is so against all conceptions of legal, and it goes against all the feelings of righteousness that it can't be that you do mischar beparosho shel chaver. If you're a maskier, we just skip your possession, look back to the original owner and say, you are maskier, not I, the ganef, but the original owner, is maskier to the second person, and he has to, the second person, the soicher, he who gets the bike, he who gets the car, he gets the behemoth, yeah, he has to pay the money to the original owner, and this is halach lemaase, at least for the Ashkenazim, because there is no shinui reshus. Yeah, but Gazlan is actually only koine, this thing which he has in his position. He's chayef b'oinseach chayfetz. He's only chayef to pay back the damage which happens. He has to, if there's a damage, if it gets stolen, it gets broken, if there is a lightning which completely destroys his car, etc., etc., then he has to pay it back, but not more. And we, the gzeres ha-teure is you can't get ein lehoitzi mimenu momoin ba'at tashmishwa, you can't get it. Okay. This is a gzeres ha-teure which shows the how our ideas about property and ownership are. The second claim of the husband was that he wanted money for the 9, at least mine, if possible, 12 months that the wife was in the half of his apartment. It was a shared apartment again, and he wanted the money for it. So you all know this famous Gemara, the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Chof and Aleph. The Gemara speaks there about the a guy which happens very much nowadays, squatters we call it. We had it already 50 years ago in Holland, where squatters sitting there, and even the Goyish judges, Lavdil, Elof, 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 Dolois, they didn't know how to deal with it. There was no clolium in the law, in the Dutch law, and the English law, also not Mistom at that time. And they didn't know, but it's very interesting, this whole idea of ownership of Nadlan, of real estate. And I'll read it out to you. The Gemara says here, I live in your apartment. You were in America. You didn't see it. You didn't hear it. You never heard about it, the fact that I was living in your apartment. So the question of the Gemara is, this you have to pay him for not knowing, and I use his apartment. The Gemara says, if this chotzer is not normally rented out, yeah, and the person is who is sitting in the house is not used to pay rent for his living. For example, he has a father who gives him a room, he has a brother, he has a son. A lot of people can give him free living, and he never pays for his rent. So the Gemara turns it down to ze nene ze lo choser. Sorry, ze lo nene ze choser. The owner of the apartment is choser because if it's oimet laskora, if this house is used normally to rent it out, he has no rent, and the guy living there has no. He never pays for it. Ze nene. So the Gemara says, ze lo nene, he's not nene, ze lo yichose. It might be that I am not renting out, and then, that's what the Gemara speaks in the first case, I'm not renting out, so I don't lose as owner of the house, and the guy who lives there, or the person who sleeps there, he has no advantage, then it's potter. Again, it's lo yoimet laskora, lo yoimet laskora, it's not there to rent out, and the person living there never pays a cent for his living because he has a father, he has a son, he has a brother who takes him always for free. So it's called, that's called in Loshon HaGemara, ze loy nene, he has no advantage, and I couldn't care less as owner, and that's why it's potter. So the Gemara says, no, maybe kaima la agre be gavra ava le mege. Let's consider the case where the house is rented out normally, and the guy who lives there pays always rent. So the Gemara says, Zenenev Zechose, and this is always Chayim. And the Gemara comes down and says, and this happens quite a lot, and also in this case, was it actually the fact that the Lokaim Ala Agra, it was not there to rent out, like in our case, because it was Limechire, they made an agreement with the Metavech, with his broker, the real estate agent, that it is limechirim. They themselves, although the metzias might be that now everybody rents out whatever property he has, but anyway, we don't follow the roif. We don't say, oh, everybody does it, and a moitze mechaviro lavarai, you have to prove it, and there's no klal of roif. But also here, there's this agreement between husband and metavech and the wife and the metavech, and they said it has to be empty to be delivered later, to be sold, and it is lemechir and not for living. So that's what they made up, and that is... So you see here that actually only when a thing is rented out, you have to pay. If it's not rented out, it's zelo choser, the owner is not lacking anything, he's not losing anything, so he has no claim. It's a very interesting discussion, of course, it's very interesting. But the questions are, first of all, what's the tam of the p'tur? Is it only chisorin? And that's the way Rav Shimon Shkoyb learned in Simon Yutes, or like the Pnei Yeshua learns, he says, if I enjoy something of you, your voice, the sight of your garden, whatever, I enjoy, nehene is no reason to pay. Bederklal, if I just nehene from your beautiful car, or your beautiful house, or your beautiful painting, I'm nehene, but I don't have to pay. You understand? Because this is not the normal way of dealing with it. It's not oimet last call. If I'm nene and you are choser, I have to pay. You're chison. But the reason why do I have to pay is not so very clear from the Gemara. Of course, the Rishonim speak about it. From the Gemara, it's not very clear if we pay because of the chisorin or that we pay because of, like the Pnei Yeshua says, I didn't finish that, that the Pnei Yeshua says that you pay that. You don't pay because ein koyfin slicha koyfin al midas sedoim, which means that midas sedoim is to ask money for things which don't cost me anything. Ani lo chaser, yes, they don't cost me anything, and why should I not give you the right to enjoy it? Because that is midas sedoim. Ha'im shali shali v'shelcha shali. This is midas sedoim. If you can't. If it doesn't cost you any penny, why should you not give it also to somebody else? This is the koyfin of Midas Sedoim.
Yeah, wastage. I like your painting. You should pay me. You got pleasure that I enjoy it.
Very nice. But it's not a legal argument, sorry, with all due respect. Okay, good. So here also...
The chosid bal is the fact that you want to have the ownership in as much that it remains in your domain and somebody else should.
That's bailus. You have rights. You can be moiche. You can say, I don't want it, and you don't have to explain it. I tell you, even when it's lo chaserli, nothing will. I lose nothing with letting you into my estate or something. Yeah. Still, I don't want it. I have to buy this, of course. If I'm moiche, if I say no, and this also happened, because after 12 months, the husband, hat sich gehabt, wie man sagt, He understood that he has to go to Beis Din and ask for an auction. There's 9 months, which he just was mamshich the situation from before, which means they have partnership. He didn't break up the partnership. He only broke it up after 12 months. So the question is here, and this is very interesting. Actually, this whole question is not so much a question of Zen and Zen Aloichos, it's a question of partnership. I read you out the Remo. The Remo says in Kuf Ayin Alf, Sif Ches, in Choshe Mishpav, Loichoku, as long as two partners, wife and husband here, are partners, as two partners do not be in Machalek, one of the partners uses the, let's say, an office. We rent together an office, we are partners. I use it because you were in America and you were doing business there, you were on vacation. The whole first 2 years, that's what Ramo speaks about, I use it exclusively. And after 2 years, you come back from the States and you say, Rabbi Avis, get out. You used it for two years. Now I want to use it for 2 years. This is no legal, no reasonable legal argument. And it's not, this is not the way it handles. You handle it. 2 years I used it exclusively. The next 2 years we use it both. Yeah, we are partners, and that you were away was no reason for me to give those years that you were not here, you the exclusive ownership. So this is actually, the Rashbo actually, Rameau quotes the Rashbo, but he does not take the second reason. The second reason the Rashbo says, Im rotzo chavero ham mishtamish bo. There's an, yeah, you can say, if you wanted to use it, you would be able to do this the last 2 years. You went away to holiday to the business in America, in South America, and Japan. You went out here. So it doesn't give you any rights. The Rashbo gave us a second teretz, or a second explanation, actually, which actually the Maharsham in Chelek Aleph Siman Ches, he paskens like this, but is the Rameau clearly not. The Rameau clearly quotes the Rashbo, but does not give the second reason that im rotzo chaveroi, if this second partner wanted to use it, he could have used it. Yeah, hayim mishtamish boy. Because in our case, this is not applicable. In our case, not applicable, because the wife, after the get, wife and husband are not allowed to live together. He has, or she has to leave the apartment. This is impossible. So in this case, there was a shutfus. The shutfus broke up. The question is, how can you break up a shutfus? Not so easy. So one of the partners dies, of course, there's no shutfus. If there's a zman kavua, bring it all conditions. But also, if the partner says it's impossible to have this house together, and it was impossible, they can't live together, it's not al pi halacha. Tzi'i, if he says tzi'i, the partnership is broken up and there is no legal partnership anymore, it is now divided, shared, but a little bit divided apartment. And the question is, how do we consider this? Is this self-understood that she has to leave or to pay? Yeah? It's very interesting. The Chochma Shloimeh, the Argos of Shulchan Aruch, brings such a case, and he says, if two partners, is a question of Yerusha, if two partners, two sons, both, for example, he gives both Ashirim, well, one lives completely far away and doesn't need this Beis Abbat or whatever it is, this factory he does not need. Yeah, what is then the halacha? The halacha is that because it's lahaskora, and again here you see it's very important that this building, this Beis Abbat, is lahaskora, is to rent out, to be let. Yeah, then it is self-understood, the Chochma Shloimeh says, it's self-understood that she has to pay. Because it's lahaskora, and you as one of the partners, one of the sons who inherits this Beis Abbat, partly, of course, is not using it because he doesn't like it, he's far away, he has other businesses to do. The fact that he leaves it to the other does not mean that the other does not have to pay. If it's last score, you have to pay. And now, the husband, and this is also one of the things the Orcha Shulchan, for example, brings, that first of all the houses nowadays, he said it already 150 years ago, all houses are last score, very interesting. I mean, the basic assumption is everything is lahaskora. Second of all, the metzias is also that it is lahaskora. So, we have some 5 minutes. I just go to the tainus. The tainus of the wife is, you should have known that by giving me a get, I'm not guilty that you are not able to come into the apartment. Yeah, you gave me the get. And this is the aloha. The aloha is chases you out of this shared apartment. It's not me. But this is, of course, not reasonable. She knew merosh. She knew in advance this is going to happen. He, by the way, also knew that this is going to happen. But this is not a good argument for the lady to say that she has to stay there and she doesn't have to pay any money. She knew that merosh, that this is going to happen and she can't live together with her husband. The implication of this very complicated case is that not only she had a taina, he wants to maximize the price. Yeah, But she also, she's half of the owner, so she also is interested. I mean, she wouldn't object to get some more money for this half apartment than the other guy, her husband, sorry, than her husband. I mean, she's also interested. It's not a real claim of this lady that I want to sell, but my husband only wants to maximize the price, and that's why the thing is not sold. It is common ground. Also, the wife did not take into account that her husband can immediately break up the shutfus, first of all. Second of all, and when we break up the shutfus, her husband has a claim against her. And second of all, he can change this me lemechire to haskora. The Shulchan Aruch and also the Aruch Shulchan, of course, brings down. I quote the Aruch Shulchan because he was in Holland, and actually in a lot of countries he was accepted as the Rosh HaPoiskim, at least in his time, even against the Mishneh Berurahs. He was accepted as the Rosh HaPoiskim, and he claims that we go after Eis HaHoive. Now, if the husband says, I now want to sell this house, he has to write it, to sell it. Even when it was 3 months very clearly in the agreement, lemechire, for selling, which means not laskora, even when it was a hamshocha b'shtike, you call it, the continuation of the situation was b'shtike, silent. He didn't, it was just nachlesik, he was...
Keep quiet.
Yeah, he kept quiet, he forgot about it, he was busy with other things, and only after a year he chapped himself, oh gosh, I have to go to the Beis Din and ask for an auction. We call this Hamshocha B'shtike. He went further, missed him on the same conditions, but at the moment he says, Tzi, he breaks up the shutfus, not only the shutfus, he also breaks up the lemechire, that the standard of this house is to be sold. No, it's now La Haskora. And that's why I think that he will be parted into three time zones. To say the first three chodoshim, he has no right at all to claim, not from the furniture, not from the nadlan, not from the dira. The Meir Shtamshus, the 9 months after that, she has to, it was unclear, but it's a hamshoche b'shtike, which means that the situation stays as it is. The house is limachire. He has no right to claim the Meir Shtamshus, and he can break it up. At the moment he says, Tzi'i, he breaks it up, this shutfus, and also the fact that it is limachire, it's now laskora, and from now on. So he has to pay. She, the wife, has to pay from now on for everything which he said, half the dire and half the furniture, because also half the furniture you can't use without permission. I mean, she can use it without permission, but this is illegal. She has to leave it or to give it over to the husband, at least the half. It's very complicated. The shaydus, of course, of goit ve'igut, can we break it up? The living, it's nearly impossible. Not like Lloyd, when she saw that, not like the wife of Lloyd, when she saw that Lloyd was bringing in guests, which was very dangerous in Sodom. She draw a line in the middle of the house, on the left side I live and you live on the right side. She didn't want to be partner in crime for inviting guests. You can imagine what happened. Two little points I want to... the wife said, it's a broch. I have to say that this house is a broch. And you can't claim that I tell the truth. That's indeed true. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Mechira, you will see... You have always to inform what might, like a shidduch, what might be interesting for the other party. Yeah, you have to say all the makas, and even when it's a mekach, sorry, if it's a makah which is mevatel the mekach, and sometimes I sell you a car without an engine. This is mamish mevatel the mekach, no? So also, you have to tell always, even when it's a lie, even when it's not true. You also are mazik. I mean, you have to be careful as wife selling. Don't forget, she's also selling half of her property. It's also half her property, so she has the right to sell. But even when it's not really true, It is considered a pagam, it's considered goyim nezek. It's considered goyim nezek. And goyim nezek, in the case of living on other person's premises, makes you chayv to pay the damage, and not only to pay the damage, also the whole haskara. It's very interesting, Shulchan Aruch, there's no time to do this, but if you make a pagam in the living, you pay the damage you made in the living, you have to pay even when it was koyven al midas sedoim, that we don't let you pay because it was oymed la haskara, but you didn't have any advantage, for example, according to some opinions. Yeah, we let you pay on the pegomim, on the makas you made in the house. And if we pay you, let you pay on that, the halacha is that you also pay on the rent, which you till now was not necessary. It's very interesting. There's a Das HaRoish who says that everybody who lives in my apartment keeps it moinea. That's his lotion. The Rosh brings it, Monea Zemilisose, which means that living in an apartment which is otherwise empty is a big toive, which I, as a squatter, do, if I'm not damaging, do for the ownership. Because the owner, he loses, his house will be destroyed, or Al Yidei Mazikin, which is more absurd. But also, just by facts, there's a storm and a window breaks, and if I repair the window, if I squat and I'm sitting there, I do you a big, big favor. And the wife can say, Kim li kedas Rosh, I go according to the Rosh. And the Rosh says, if I sit there, I always do a toive to the landlord. A grois shkoyach, a good Shabbos.
Right. Anybody wants to hear the words on the seder? We've got exactly 1.5 minutes to hear it. Shkoyach. Adab Hashem al Moshe, Baal Sinai Laimor. There is a place where Har Sinai is mentioned by the Indian of Shemitah, and that's something that Rashi picks up on immediately, and he asks the question of Ma Inyan Shemitah Etzel Har Sinai. What as Shemitah is so associated from all the other 613 mitzvahs that here the Torah mentions the word Har Sinai to do with Shemitah. But I can't give you the answer because I've been told I must stop at 9:05. So if you are not disturbed by the fact that I continue, then please tell me. Otherwise I should continue. So? Okay. I'll help you sleep now. You don't have to wait till Shabbos. Okay. So there was once a terrible saga here in England which ripped apart part of the society of Anglo Jewry. Was to do with Rabbi Louis Jacobs. Louis Jacobs. Now he was a big Kamtrucham, and he learned Gates at Koil, and he was known to be a very profound scholar. Yet there were issues about him and his, let's say, Ashkufas, and one of them, which really
set the clergy alert was one of the subjects she discussed, which had to do with Torah min Hashemayim. Did God really speak to the Jewish nation? Did they hear his voice as is outlined in Parshas Veschanan? Hashuma om koile lekim medabei mitoichu eish, where the Torah says clearly, definitively, that that's exactly what happened, that the Rebbein Shalom spoke. Chabu shiz mamshach tzazam? You sure? Freich. So, very briefly, they caught him out on that, and he said it was a vision, it wasn't quite actually so. The Rebbein Shalom didn't speak to the Jewish nation, they heard certain ideas and concepts which came forth, but there was not a voice which 600,000 Yidden or millions of Yidden heard at the bottom of Har Sinai, where the Rebbein Shalom said to them, very, very loudly, very clearly, to the point that Poch Nishmusom, Unoichi Hashem Melekecho Asher Yitzhoisichu Meitz Mitzrayim, and the Rebbein Shloinim spoke to them very clearly with his voice. So there you have the issue of Har Sinai, which has a very clear, how do you say, allusion, and no, it's a very clear association with knowing that the Rebbein Shloinim is actually the one who gave Torah from Sinai. So Torah with Rebbein Shloinim and the voice of God and all that has got to do with the representation of Har Sinai. Now, only an idiot would write into his book that he underwrites an open check that if you work for 6 years and the seventh year you will leave your fields fallow, I underwrite that you will have Panusa for 3 years. Even Mohammed didn't write that, and neither did Yoshke. Nobody had a go at that.
So you have a right to what?
That if you work for 6 years, that you will have panusa for the seventh and even the eighth year, if it's Yovel, because there'll be some miraculous event that will increase your harvest by so much that 12 months will yield 24 months of produce.
He was saying he didn't believe it.
No, I'm saying that. The Torah writes it. The Rebbein Shalom writes it. He wrote a check, not by Barclays Bank. Yeah. He undersigned it that he will give Panusa for the entire Jewish nation in the whole of the land of Israel if they are going to keep Shemitah. Now, who underwrites something like that unless you're Barmy? Only one, Kail Chai V'Kayom, a Rebbein Shalom, who is Boirai Kol HaShumas Rebbein Kol HaMasim, could afford to underwrite and underscore that, I assure you that you will not die of hunger. You will have to eat in the Shemitah year. So there are at least another 7 pshutim, but I'll keep to this one and we'll finish with this. So therefore, you ask the question, Ma inyan Shemitah etzel Har Sinai is Moiradik. Har Sinai was the questionable thing. Did the Rebbein Shloinim actually speak to us? Yeah, he did. And does the Rebbein Shloinim give us panusa? We might not think so, because after all, when we go to the office and we're there from 9 to 5 and we're doing all sorts of business deals, then, of course, don't mix in God. I'm doing just fine. Please, don't tip the apple cart. Yeah, so there you've got the Inyan of Shemitah etzel Har Sinai. If you believe that there was one Borei Olam which stood and gave the Torah from Har Sinai, then, of course, you would also reflect upon that the same Borei Olam can also underwrite that he will give you sustenance, Sheloi k'derech ha-teva, and there is a very strong correlation between Shemitah and Har Sinai. The same way that the Torah was given by God, the same way Shemitah is given by the underwriting of God. Chaps.
So far, I've seen my world.
You said you were 72.